I said, and Baptist, and today.
And today I can be comfortable in my criticism of blacks because I feel like I've paid my dues. I've experienced the blacks and growing up in the black neighborhood, and I don't feel any way that I can be considered a racist, and I see, the greatest lesson was I think I'm able to see people for what they are. So, and I'm not afraid to put blacks down, or I mean, I've gone full circle. I think I'm finally seeing the light. So, that's the Richie Davis story.
You're talking about the band you were with, black guys and a couple of white guys.
This is not now. This was back in when I was 22, 23. I played in at that point the only white guy in a band. It was a very popular band that used to play all over the city. But we played on Lincoln Avenue. And we were young and single. And this was when we were all on the prowl and looking for girls, et cetera, et cetera. And all the pretty white girls would come to those jobs, for the most part, fascinated with the black guys who were in this band and wanted to get together with them. And I couldn't make any kind of progress with any white girls. And so what happened was, I found that the black girls wanted to date me, not because I was handsome or sexy or great musician, although I am all those things, of course.
Yeah.
But just kidding, but it became almost a little status symbol for them to be able to, just as it was for the white girls who were going out with the black guys, for the black girl to be able to say, oh, I'm dating this white guy. And when they would talk to me, because of my background being in a black neighborhood, they could talk easily to me, and here was a white guy they could relate to, and it was just interesting for them. It's just like if in some ways it could be status, in some ways it could be, you know, telling their friends, oh yes, I'm dating a white guy, and, you know, it could be that thing. Another way it could just be just to try something different. If you've never tried a Thai food and you want to try it, that's all. It could be as simple as that.
What were the, you were, Lincoln Avenue, these were the neighborhoods of, hip neighborhoods.
Right. Well, they had a lot of blues bars and
blues bars
catered to
like a village in New York.
Right.
Say.
That's right.
So you remember reactions of white guys when they saw the white dames going for the black guys?
Well, in that little insulated area, there was no problem. But I remember sometimes if I would be on a date, I mean, the stereotype is that the white guys are incensed that their women are screwing these black guys. And that's true, but you know, it's just as true on the other end, because when I would be with a pretty black girl, black guys, we had a very hard time with that. And even the black guys in my band
didn't like that.
They tried not, I mean, no one was direct, but I mean, it was obviously, it bothered them.
Yeah.
It bothered them.
So that male aspect.
It works both ways. Believe me. Most bullshit is cross cultural. I'm here to testify to that.
Most bullshit is what?
Cross cultural.
Yeah. It's both. Yeah. We know that black girls, black women, tremendous resentment of black guys with white women. Among black women.
There's a funny thing, a Richard Pryor record where he's got a white wife, and he's talking about, well, to the audience, and he suckers the women and says, well, you sisters don't think that a black man should be with any white girl. Yeah, that's right, brother, that's right. He goes, yeah, why should we be happy? You know, why should, you know, really trying to say that their really deepest fantasy is that they really want to be with a white guy anyway. But
yeah. That's interesting, isn't it? And I'm glad we added this touch. It's kind of